the financial growth has to be preceded by personal growth, right? You have to grow as an individual. And I had never experienced that before. And that made me realize two things. Number one, the world doesn't revolve around me, right? And number two, if I'm going to be happy, if I'm going to be professionally satisfied, if I'm going to build a great business, I got to do it helping people, right? And not just thinking I'm number one. It's all about me. It's not. It's about helping people. And if you help a lot of people, guess what? Your business will grow. And then you'll make a lot more money. And then you can help a lot more people. And your business will grow. And it's circular. And it took me a long time to realize that.
Is your business struggling right now? You might think that it's because you don't have enough sales. But the reality is, it's because you don't have the attention of the marketplace. This is attention equals dollars. You deserve more. Your business deserves more. And I'm here to teach you everything that I know on how to get the attention that you need and to turn that attention into dollars. Welcome to the Attention Equals Dollars podcast. I'm your host, Luke Nessler, where we come to you live every week from the Impact Media Studios, where we bring you content on iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, on how to grow your brand, how to get attention and turn that into dollars. What we do on this show is talk to experts, experts of their craft, experts of their industry, those that have gotten the attention of their customers and monetized on that and turned that into revenue. How do they get attention online? How did they define what they're going to do? How did they pick their niche? How have they grown their business? Today, I'm excited to welcome my friend Mark Astor to the podcast. Mark's an attorney, but he has defined his niche. He's a drug and alcohol attorney, and he's the best at what he does. Someone that I'm excited to have on the show, someone I'm proud to call a friend, someone we've gotten to know each other over the past month from our friends in New York City at Two Market Media, Steve and Hank. Mark, welcome to the show. Man, I'm pumped to have you on.
Luke, I was so excited that you asked me to come on, just not just to talk about what I do, but hopefully to inspire some other business owners, small business owners like me to get out there and make their dreams come true and really work hard to help as many people as possible. So thank you very much for inviting me.
Yeah, and I'm honored to have you on the show. And honestly, one of the reasons I was excited to have you on the show and excited to learn that you're working with Steve and Hank at Two Market Media is because I don't think there are enough people in the professional fields, in the medical fields, in the legal fields, and the accounting and financial services fields that understand the importance of building their brand, getting attention, and leveraging marketing platforms to grow their business. So I was excited to find somebody that's an attorney that understands that you have to get people to know who you are. And that's obviously why you're doing what you're doing. So I think you're going to bring a ton of value to people that might not understand how to do what you're doing. So I'm really excited to get into it.
Great. Love to share this stuff.
We'll take us back. So I'd ask you, I said, I can hear an accent in there somewhere. Where are you originally from? And you told me you're from England. So take us all the way back. What brought you over to the States and where are we going from there?
So my parents moved here in 1987. We had had a condo here in South Florida in the early 80s. And, you know, come the late 80s, my father and mother decided, you know, it was time to make it a permanent move. So they'd actually planned to come over here in 88. In 87, about 6 months before the move was supposed to take place, I came over here for a little visit, which ended up becoming a permanent stay. And I reconnected with some old friends that I knew from when my parents had their condo. One of them was a very nice young lady who was, it turned out, was up at the University of Michigan. So I hadn't seen her in 5 years, but I went to visit her, fell in love with the girl and the school. I stayed at the school. She married somebody else, but I guess at the end of the day, it all worked out for the best because I'm proud to say I'm a Wolverine. So,
I love it. That's awesome. So, what turned you on to going into the legal field?
You know, I got done with college. My father, you know, I always like to think I come from humble beginnings. My father left school at 14. My mother left school at 16. So neither one of them had an education, and my father was sort of drummed in my head the idea of being a professional. And how important it was to have a craft and be good at it. And, you know, he said to me, look, if you are a professional with a craft, you'll always be able to make a living. And so I got to the end of college, really didn't know what I wanted to do and said, well, you know, let's go to law school. So that's what I did. You know, that was sort of the beginning of the journey. And it's been a long journey. It really has been a long journey. I'm 51 now. And I think this is this is probably the happiest I've been in my life. I'll tell you that. It's taken a while to get here.
Yeah, I love that. Well, so I love the fact that I didn't realize your age. You look younger than 51, so that's good on you for that.
That's what the single life will do for you.
Yeah, here you go.
I don't waste it partying. I spend it working on my business.
That's where I'm going with this. I love the fact that you're 51. I know a lot of people that shit when they're 30, they're talking about kicking back and retiring by the time they're in their 50s, and you're still pushing hard and grinding, and you want more for yourself. What is that? Is that something you've always had in you? Is that a learned trait?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. It's something I learned the hard way. I wasted a lot of time and a lot of years. After I was finished being a prosecutor, I worked for my parents' family business for a long time, and I will tell you professionally that was very unsatisfying. I wasn't a happy individual. I made a ton of money, but I wasn't happy. And then, you know, when the economy went south and I was heavily invested in real estate, the stock market, and I lost just about everything, you know, that frankly had been handed to me on a plate. And then my dad got sick and my father passed away and there was no financial safety net there. I realized it was time to either, you know, to put my big boy pants on and be a man and really go after what I wanted and do things that would make me happy and help a lot of people on the way. So, it took me time. And I really think that in life, if you don't experience some personal growth, at some point you're going to fall on your ass. You're going to fall on your rear end. I really believe that. And so I got my kick in the pants about 16 years ago when I got divorced, and that emotionally threw me sideways. So that was the beginning of my journey. That's what really, you know, rattled my cage, as it were.
I think what I'm hearing with you is something similar to what's fueled me. And you had mentioned before we got on the show, you said you've got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And I think negative occurrences that have happened in my life have propelled me forward to wanting more and doing more. And I've gotten to a point now to where I am comfortable with things that make me uncomfortable, that, to be honest, that would make a lot of people quit. And you said multiple things that obviously put you in a state of uncomfort, but you've said it in a way that every time something negative has happened, you've used it as a jumping board to go to the next level. So talk to me about why you said that before we jumped on. You've got to get comfortable being uncomfortable, and how have you folded that into your daily life?
So, you know, I think I got that phrase, you know, about 4 years ago. I worked for a company down here in South Florida that teaches lawyers the business side of the practice. Okay. Cause in law school, they don't teach us anything about how to, you know, get client number one through the door, sell them the right legal service, and build the business. And I think there's sort of this misnomer out there that every lawyer out there is making a ton of money. I'll tell you, that's not true. They say the average lawyer makes between $50,000 and $60,000 a year and is struggling, right? And is not happy being a lawyer. And the occurrence of addiction, and, you know, the use of alcohol and drugs and mental illness in the legal profession is twice what it is for people who are not in the legal profession. So clearly lawyers are struggling with this. So I worked for this company. I learned about the business side of the practice. But more than that, what they really were, the foundation of what they did was personal growth. And what they believed was the financial growth has to be preceded by personal growth, right? You have to grow as an individual. And I had never experienced that before. And that made me realize two things. Number one, the world doesn't revolve around me, right? And number two, if I'm going to be happy, if I'm going to be professionally satisfied, if I'm going to build a great business, I got to do it helping people, right? And not just thinking I'm number one. It's all about me. It's not. It's about helping people. And if you help a lot of people, guess what? Your business will grow, and then you'll make a lot more money, and then you can help a lot more people, and your business will grow. And it's circular. And it took me a long time to realize that. It really did. And that really has been, you know, what got me moving in the right direction about 3 years ago. So yeah, I mean, that's and critical.
Well, I think growth, and this is starting to become something that's talked about more and more and more with entrepreneurs becoming personalities on the internet, but growth can't happen unless you put yourself into a state of discomfort. And, you know, I relate it back to, I grew up, you know, racing bicycles, playing football, working out, and your muscles can't grow unless you put yourself into a state of discomfort. Unless you break down your muscle tissue, it's not comfortable, but they're not going to grow any other way, right? Yeah. It's the same thing with your business, with yourself. If you want to go from $60,000 to $150,000, you can't do what you've always done. You've got to do something that scares the shit out of you, something that's going to put you in a state of discomfort, probably going to keep you up at night. But if you overcome adversity, if you overcome every hurdle that comes at you, you get better, you get stronger, you get more agile from that. And that's where the growth starts to come from. Would you agree with that, Mark?
Absolutely. I mean, I'll give you an example. So we talk about Hank and Steve. Those guys got me doing a Facebook live show. In fact, they've got me doing two now. One of them, I interview people, and you know, I've done three of them now. Yesterday I did the third one, which was probably my best one. But you know, I'll tell you, the first time I did one, it scared the living shit out of me. Right? I couldn't get the technology right. I didn't know how to do the
interview.
And yep. You know, for those people who are watching this, right? They see you and they say, "Oh, that looks easy. He's just asking him a few questions." I got to tell you, sitting in your seat is not easy. Let them go do it. It's not so easy. It looks easy because you're great at it. You've obviously spent a lot of time doing it, but it's not easy. And I bet the first 10 times you did it, it was uncomfortable, but that's where the growth takes place. That's how you build your audience. That's how you build your business. And that's how you help a lot of people.
Yeah. I'm glad you bring that up because again, you're in a profession that a lot of people would relate back to, you know, as being, well, he's got a real job, right? And people with real jobs, you know, lawyers, we don't promote ourselves like that. You know, medical professionals, we don't promote ourselves like you crazy, you know, entrepreneurs that are doing internet marketing. You're an attorney. You're doing the same type of content with the same thought process that I have. And it's, I've got to get people to pay attention to me online because that's where they're consuming content. And a lot of people stop at, well, what do I do when I go live? What if I mess up? What if I stumble over my words? I'm nervous. I've never done it before. All that stuff you just said went through your head. And how do you get better at it? You get better at it by doing it. What made you start doing the live streams other than the fact that Steve and Hank made you do it?
So you know, I actually saw Hank at the 10X conference.
This year or last year? The one in Vegas?
This year. After I left that personal growth company, you know, I really made a point of trying to listen to other folks. You know, I think there's a proven way to be successful, right? There are people out there like Grant Cardone and, you know, other individuals out there who have made it. And there's a certain path that they followed. So, you know, I think you can learn from those, right? You can learn from those people. So I started listening to Grant Cardone. I think he's a really inspirational guy. And he started talking about the 10X conference. And I said, man, I'm not spending all that money to go to Vegas. And wouldn't you know it, we had Hurricane Irma that blew through South Florida. And on that specific day, Grant did this like fire sale. And the price went from $2,500 to like $795. And I was like, all right, I'm going. So I booked it and I went. And I think on the second day, Hank comes out and I listened to him. I said, man, that guy's absolutely nuts. He's completely crazy.
For those that don't know Hank, that's what everybody says. He looks like he's on crack when he's on stage. But here's the thing. He gets your attention.
You know what? And while he was on stage, he gave out like this tech that you, he said, here's a number, text to it, and I'll send you a link to my website. So when I got home, I went to the website and he was talking about, you know, these 15-second Instagram videos. And I'm like, wow, that looks interesting. I'm not doing something like that. I wonder if that would help. So, you know, I ended up scheduling a time to chat with him. And we had probably two or three conversations. And, you know, they really came up with what I thought was a good plan. And I was like, wow, you know, there's a difference between just, you know, posting stuff on social media and really being active on social media and working to, you know, to cut through all the noise. In other words, I'm not just competing with other lawyers. I'm competing with everybody because everybody's stuff out there. So I got to cut through the noise of everybody so people can hear my message. So they're like, hey, we want you to do a Facebook live show. And the first time they said that, I said, oh my God, how the hell am I going to do that? But I'm like, well, it's either time to put up or shut up. So I put up and I started to do it. So this is where the growth takes place. You know, this is it.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that's something that it says a lot for you because there are a lot of people that, they say, how the heck am I going to do that? Well, that means it's just not for me. Well, no, it is for you. You know, again, it's being comfortable with being uncomfortable. And look, I mean, your industry, everybody's industry is this way. Everything that we do is a commodity. Attorneys, there's 1,000 of them, right? Wow. What's the difference between, you know, the guy that has his billboard on the left side of the road that's posed like this and the guy that has his billboard on the right side of the road that's posed like this? Nothing. Right? There actually is a difference, but that billboard is not telling you what makes him better than him. What you're doing that I would, you know, be very comfortable saying that probably none of your competitors are doing this. You're doing something in a way that gives people an inside look at Mark. This, and we're going to get into your story right after this. Why are you the drug and alcohol attorney? Why are you the best? What are you like? Are you an asshole? Are you compassionate? Yeah, I'm a great guy, but I'll go to battle for you. I don't get that from a photo. I don't get that from a newspaper ad. I get that from consuming content to where I can learn about you. And what you're doing is that you're putting yourself out there in a way that none of your competitors are. You're differentiating yourself and you're establishing what the real value proposition of using you is. And you're doing it because you're doing things that made you uncomfortable. And to be honest, you're probably still figuring out, but you're doing a great job at it.
I am. You know, look, at the end of the day, it's about connecting with people. People want to do business with other people that they know, like, and trust. And if they don't get to know you, if they don't hear what your message is, if they don't see you, I mean, how do they ever get to that point where they're like, yeah, you know, I need to call that person and talk with him about my problem and see if he has a solution for me.
Yeah, 100%. Mark, what made you decide, look, I'm not gonna do the typical attorney thing. I'm picking a niche that honestly I haven't met or seen. We do work with a decent amount of lawyers. I haven't found somebody that does drug and alcohol and really promotes that as that's their thing. What made you decide to niche down and why did you pick that niche?
So the year I spent with the company down in Miami, after about a year there, I came to the conclusion it was time to do my own thing. And I had a chat with the founder of the company and I said, look, I think it's time for me to open up my own practice. And he said, well, that sounds great. I'd like to help you. What do you want to do? And I said, well, you know, I've always done criminal law. I was a prosecutor for many years. I've done defense work. I think that's what I'm going to do. And he said, well, that sounds great, but there's a million criminal defense lawyers out there. Is there anything else out there that might motivate you to get out of bed in the morning? And I said, well, I know this sounds a little odd, but I've noticed throughout my life, I'm surrounded by people who are in recovery. And he said, well, why don't you build your business helping those people? And I said, I can do that. He said, I don't know. You're a lawyer. Go figure it out. So I went online and I did a little research and I realized that we had a statute here in Florida. It's called the Marchman Act. And what that does is it allows somebody to petition a court, ask the court to send their loved one to treatment. And I realized that not only was it a really, you know, neat piece of legislation, a great statute, I realized it was only a couple of other lawyers even touching the subject. And I didn't feel that they were niched. And I felt like my experience in the criminal arena, not only with my courtroom experience, but the fact that most of the people in the criminal system are there because of addiction and mental illness, I felt the two of those things combined would really be great. And when I worked for this company, we really, you know, used to talk to our clients, our lawyers, about niching down. Because if you don't niche down, one, it's very hard to get a message out there. And if you're, you know, practicing what I call door law, you know, taking anything that walks in through the door, who's your audience? Who are you marketing to? What's your message? So, you know, the idea of niching down to help people that were already in my life, it was like, wow, it just struck an amazing chord with me. And I'm like, no one else is doing this. I bet I can help a ton of people. And by the way, we're in the middle of a massive opioid epidemic. And it started right here in South Florida, my back door. I bet I can help a ton of people and build a great business.
Yeah. I love that. That's so it's a matter of that. We just did a podcast with Judge Graham and it was all about picking the niche. And I don't want to have two podcasts about the same thing, but you just shed a different light on it to where it's, if you see a need in the marketplace for your skill and you attack that relentlessly, you're going to grow and you're going to scale as long as you're an expert in what you do, which you are. So, I mean, you could have gone and done what everybody else did, but then you're a dime a dozen. And maybe there are more people that are specializing in that niche, but you were one of the first movers. And you can proudly say that and position yourself as just that. And I feel that goes a long way. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's great. You know, I listened to an audiobook by Tim Grover. Tim Grover was Michael Jordan's personal trainer for 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
He's got an amazing book, From Good to Great to Unstoppable. And he talks about Michael's journey. And he compares him to Tiger Woods and Kobe Bryant. I mean, those guys didn't just wake up one day and were the best at what they did. I mean, they really worked at it and they worked at it relentlessly.
Absolutely.
And he talks about how important it is to be relentless and focused on being the best at one particular thing, really niching down. And when when somebody needs somebody, you know, who can, you know, hit a three pointer or who needs somebody who, you know, can help them because their kid's addicted to drugs, you're the person they're going to call because you're the guy that's the most focused, the most niched, and whose message is the clearest. And by niching down, you can accomplish that. If you're all over the place doing, you know, this, that, and the other, I don't know. I mean, you're a jack of all trades and a master of none.
Sure. Yeah, I completely agree with you. So let's talk about, so within that niche, what are some of the things that you did to build your business prior to getting into the digital space that got the attention of the marketplace? What were some of the things that you did? And then I want to talk about what are some of the things that you're doing now? We talked about Facebook Live, but I want to take a deeper dive. So what, you know, when did you start your business?
So I started the business 2 years ago. So we're in 18, the beginning of 16.
Okay. So maybe you started with digital. So from the day you started.
I'll tell you what I did. I started my business out of a local library here. Here in Boca Raton, we have a library that has free Wi-Fi. And that's where I started my business. Because when I started my business, I was broke. I had no money. And I hadn't practiced in 5 years. And I'd never practiced alone. And so what I did was I went into the library with my laptop. And I think for the first 3 or 4 days, I put together a spreadsheet of every person I knew. I went on Facebook, all my contacts. I went through my phone, all my contacts.
Power base.
All my contacts. And I smiled and dialed. And I said, hey, I'm back in town. Because I'd been living in California for 3 years. And they're like, who are you? You're practicing law? You still do that? I said, yeah. Hey, listen, I'm back in town. Let's get together for coffee. And I kept doing that. And I kept doing it. And finally, somebody called me with a case. And then I had enough money to get like a little office. And then another case came in. And then I had money for a bigger office. And then I hired somebody to help me to do marketing. And so, you know, it just sort of was a progression. The other thing that I really did was, because I was, you know, working, you know, sort of in the substance abuse field, was I started to get involved in my industry. I started to spend time with people who work in my industry. So, you know, when a mom and dad comes to me, they typically ask me for a referral to a treatment center. I'm never going to send someone's kid to a treatment center that I haven't personally been to, that I haven't met the owners, that I haven't at least, you know, done some kind of due diligence, met the you know, the therapist there. So I spent a lot of time the first at least 2 or 3 months just going around to treatment centers saying, hi, here's my card. This is what I do. What can I help you with? And, you know, eventually by going to, you know, meeting people in the industry, going to conventions, networking, you know, I started to build a network of people who started to get to know me on a personal level and started to trust me. And eventually the phone started to ring a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting with me being, you know, the digital marketing guy, Mark, I still do that to this day. You're talking about smiling and dialing the people that you knew. So that obviously we call that your power base. And I still do that. It's interesting. I wish I had the sheet in here. We broke down the last 365 days where our deals came from. And I think it was 35%, really close to that number, came from my personal branding content. It was 20-some percent. I don't know if it's on this computer. I don't know the exact amount, but it came from my power base and my past and current and previous clients that referred me to other people. Right. So every single day I'm picking the phone up and talking to clients saying, hey, who do you know? Right. Yeah. I'm putting marketing content out, but I still use that technique that you're talking about to this day to get the attention of new customers. Do you as well? Is that something you continue to do?
I do. And I also started to put out like a newsletter, you know, as a way of keeping in touch with old clients, old contacts, because, you know, out of sight, out of mind, people don't hear from you for 6 months. They forget about you. So
exactly. I mean,
that's
huge.
I've got a list with, I don't know, 1500 people on there. You know, I can't call all of them, but I know if I send out a newsletter or I do a video blog, because I have a few dollars now to do a video blog. So I'm a big shot. So I do a video blog. And, you know, every 2 weeks, I send them out a video blog and, you know, top of mind awareness.
I love it.
Stuff like that.
So what are some of the new things that you're doing now, Mark? So obviously you started to work with the guys at Two Market Media, which, again, for those that don't know, they're a management company out of New York. They work with me. They work with Mark. They work with Grant Cardone, Steve Harvey. And they help people with different things. One of the things that they've helped you understand is getting up on digital. So now you're talking about Facebook Lives and some new things. What are you doing now digitally to get the attention of your customers?
So a couple of things. I put money into a pay-per-click campaign. That seems to be helping. I got the guys at Two Market Media, Steve and Hank, they've helped me put together a Facebook Live show, two Facebook Live shows now, because they got me doing one from the courthouse steps every Monday. I just did that the other day as well. That was rather, again, getting comfortable, being uncomfortable. I was sweating bullets with that one. And as I was standing at the courthouse steps, I see a deputy walking past with a dog, and I'm like, oh God, here we go. I'm going to get sniffed and bitten. So, so, you know, I'm doing that plus my podcast. God, what else am I doing? You know, I've got my newsletter going out, and actually a lot of the other stuff I do, I try to do as much public speaking as I can. So, you know, I get calls from Rotaries. Hey, will you come and talk to us at lunch? Yep, absolutely. When do you want me there? You know, you know, connecting on a personal level. So, and I mean, you know, anything, anytime I can get an opportunity to speak, I will. I was on a local radio show here last night. I do one on a Saturday evening with a local celebrity down here. So, man, I just try to get out there as much as I can and talk about it as best I can. I mean, tomorrow night, right, where people are going out and partying and stuff, I'm going to a networking event with other people in the treatment industry because there might be a chance to drum up some business.
Yep.
I just don't have the time to you know, to play games anymore. I really don't.
Man, we would be good friends if we were in the same town. We'd hang out a lot because I have the same mindset. You're always on. You're always on. And if you do go to something, you know, fun, related, when I go on vacation, I literally am always looking for something that I can go to where I can get exposure and meet somebody new, right? So even when I do go to relax, I'm always on. I'm trying to get the attention of more people. I literally, and I think, I don't know if you're to this point yet, but you will be. I seek and crave attention. I get like anxiety when I'm in a big room of people and I know nobody in there knows me. It drives me fucking crazy if people aren't coming up to me saying, "Hey, what's going on?" Because I'm so used to that. And when I have that, my business is growing. When I blend in with everybody else, it drives me nuts. So I'm always looking for the opportunity. How can I stand out? How can I get people paying attention to me? Everything from down to how I carry myself, how many people I'm talking to. I'm always on. I'm always looking for an opportunity to grow my power base and my contacts, whether it's online with a show or whether it's in a networking event in a different town where I'm a complete stranger.
Yeah, I think that's really important. You know, the other thing is, you know, it's one thing I sort of notice about the league pressure. I go to a sort of a networking event. I used to say, you know, if there's 100 lawyers in a room and they're all looking to get business, guess what? No one's getting any business because no one's looking to give anything. And so, you know, of course we all want attention because that helps to bring attention to our business. But I think the other part of growing as a business person, as an individual, and, you know, sort of the philosophy of the business is, you know, when I meet people, I genuinely want to know what they do, right? How can I help them? Because it just may be that I can not only help them, but they may know somebody I can help. And by taking just a little bit of time to find out, you know, what they're doing, what they care about, you know, why they get up in the morning, what drives them. I mean, you know, I think that's just the way the universe works, right? You give love, you get a little back. If it's all about me, good luck building a business on me.
Yeah, no, I agree. I completely agree. Well, Mark, what would be the one, what's the biggest thing you've learned in the last 6 or 12 months as far as getting attention on your brand? The thing that you're like, holy shit, this, I've done this and man, this is cool. This has worked. What's that one thing that you could share with my audience?
Well, I have to tell you, that's a really great question. I was discussing that with a friend of mine who does different types of marketing, a lot of stuff I would do. And I said to him, you know, what's the key to marketing? He said, well, it's a bit like marriage. Now, here's a guy who's been very successful at marriage as opposed to me, he wasn't. He said, marketing is like marriage. It's something you got to keep working at or it fails. So I think that two things. One is you have to keep doing it. And I don't know if there's any one thing that works. I think it's a combination of things, right? It's my newsletter. It's my pay-per-click. It's my personal interaction. It's my Facebook Live. It's, you know, connecting with, you know, other great entrepreneurs like you.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, it's that, you know, success is not a straight line, right? It's sort of, you know, like this, it's up and down, up and down. And, you know, there's that great scene. I think it's in Rocky VI where Rocky is having this conversation with his kid. And he said, life's not about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. And there are days where I'm like, man, this just isn't working. The phone's not ringing. What's going on? And, you know, I say, okay, if the phone's not ringing, I got to step up my game because that means I'm not reaching enough people. So as opposed to sort of, you know, retreating back into my shell, I'm like, okay, I'm not working hard enough. Time to step up my game. How else can I get out there to meet other people? Is there an event I can go to this tonight or on this weekend? So instead of going to the movies, I'm going to a networking event. So, I mean, you got to keep plugging at it. You got to keep working at it. And it just doesn't happen overnight. And as I think Grant Cardone said, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. Right. Yeah, you know, I hear you say, oh, it's not meant to be. But that's bullshit.
Yeah. You're in control of everything.
Yeah. Listen, you want to go on a date with that girl? Pick up the phone. Right. Don't just stare. You know, you want to help a bunch of people? go out there and help a bunch of people. So exactly. You got to make it happen. You got to keep doing it, and it's got to be consistent. And you know, if the phone's not ringing, you ain't working hard enough. Get out there and exactly. help people.
I say it all the time, and it's important. If you're watching or listening to this show today, it's you've got to understand it's not the fact that you have a sales problem. It's the fact that you have an attention problem. If that phone's not ringing, it's not because there's not enough people that need your service. There's not enough people that know you or know that they need your service or that they're thinking of you over a competitor. So you have an attention problem, not necessarily a sales problem. So, you know, what Mark is saying, where if that phone's not ringing enough, you're not doing enough. And that's exactly right. So when you see that happen, look, how can you go get more attention? Well, you need to be going to those networking events. You need to be getting online, whether you're comfortable or not. And Mark is such a great example, probably the best that we've had on this show, because he's just now really getting started on that journey. Mark's, you're still getting comfortable with being online, but the bottom line is you know that you have to get that attention. You know that your customers are paying attention there. And if you're not working on it every day like a marriage, it's not going to go anywhere. It's going to fail.
Yeah. You know, and I think the other part of being successful is realizing, one, that you don't know at all, and two, that you don't know what you don't know. So, I mean, Two Market Media, it's not a matter of, it's not that they just got me doing a Facebook live show. They're more than that. They're like my social media coaches, right? They don't just say, oh, you know, this is how you do a Facebook live show, go do it. You know, they critique me. They help me to put it together. I mean, we talk about content, how to do it, my delivery. Am I asking the right questions? I mean, you need coaches. I mean, I hired these guys to coach me with my social media. I hired somebody to teach me sales because I realized I wasn't doing a very good job. Once the clients were calling me, you know, I was tracking my conversion rates. I'm not doing a good job of conveying my value proposition. Someone calls me, they have a problem. And apparently, judging by the amount of, you know, sales I was closing, I wasn't doing a very good job of communicating to them the solution I believed I had.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you can't do it alone. And you got to go to other professionals that can help you to give you the skill set that you need to grow your business. It doesn't happen a lot. And, you know, if you're getting the phone's ringing and you aren't selling, something's not right. And you got to figure out what that is. And sometimes you need help to do that, right? I mean,
100%.
Athletes or politicians, whoever, they have great coaches. I mean, listen, I went to the same school as Tom Brady and I saw him play in college. He was good, but he wasn't that good, you know. But hey, listen, he got a great coach. And, you know, maybe he plays for somebody else. He doesn't win all those Super Bowls. So it's about, you know, having a right support system that can help you and encourage you and tell you when you suck, when you really do suck, and helping you to really get your message clear and focused.
Yeah, but it starts with the individual. The person has to be hungry for growth like you are. Right. They've got to understand that it's not a matter of, well, that's not for me. No, it is. It is for you. And you might not know what you're doing. You might not be comfortable with it, but you've got to do it yourself. You've either got to figure it out yourself or you've got to hire somebody to help you handhold you along the way. And you're such a great example of it because you're in an industry where not enough people in your profession understand the importance of it. And you're going to dominate your industry really nationwide if you wanted to, because nobody else is doing it. I guarantee you there's nobody in your space that is doing what you're doing nationwide. If there are, you could count them on one hand. So it's a big deal what you're doing. Mark, I want people to be able to find you on social media for a couple of reasons. If there's somebody that watches this in your area that needs your help, how can they find you? And number two, if you don't need what Mark's offering, I want you to go look and watch what he's doing and watch him progress and get better. But most importantly, watch what he's doing. He's taking action. Where can we find you?
So my website is drugandalcoholattorneys.com. That's drugandalcoholattorneys.com. If they want, they can email me, Mark, M-A-R-K, at drugandalcoholattorneys.com, or they can call me. Can I give it my phone number?
Absolutely, you can.
Okay, yes, 561-419-6095. 561-419-6095. And I'm on Facebook under Mark G. Astor, A-S-T-O-R, or Drug and Alcohol Attorneys.
I love it. Mark, again, you're such a great example of what everybody needs to be doing to get attention, both online and offline. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. And again, guys, if you got value out of this show, if you took one or two nuggets away from what Mark's talking about, rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes, share it with a friend. Be sure to like the Facebook page. We go live every week with these on Facebook as well as on YouTube. You can subscribe to that channel. We do this for free. I want to bring you the people that have experience and knowledge, and they're growing their brands, they're getting attention, and they're turning it into dollars. It's your job to take what works for you. Something here, here's a good example, and I heard this from Grant Cardone. Everybody takes notes on what they agree with, right? Which means it might not be the answer to what you have to do. You might have said something that Mark said that you don't agree with, and that might be exactly what you want. Why? Because what you disagree with is what you're uncomfortable with. So Mark might have said a couple of things that you're like, I don't know if that's for me. That's probably the answer. That's where you need to start. So I want you to rewatch this show. I want you to look at what you took notes on, and then look for everything that you didn't write down. Your answer is somewhere in there. I guarantee it. Because once I started looking at every piece of content that way, that's when I started to find the pieces of the puzzle that were missing for me. So that's a big tip for you. Mark, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, man. We're definitely going to be doing some stuff together in the future, and I look forward to meeting you in person.
Yeah, listen, if it gets too cold up there, you know, up in Virginia, it's a chilly,
I'll be down.
It's a chilly 82 degrees down here in South Florida today. So come on down.
Yeah, I was in Miami here recently for a Cardone event, and I'm gonna be in Miami not too long from now doing some stuff with Grant. So we need to carve out time. I'd like to come down and see you.
I love that. Yeah, Grant's awesome. Down here. He moved from California. Apparently, the governor, you know, decided he wanted to rape all those, you know, good business people over the coals and whack up the taxes. And Grant said, "Well, I guess I'm going to Miami."
See ya. Yeah. I'm trying to talk my wife into doing the same thing. Mark, hey, I look forward to talking to you again soon. Thank you for being on the show, and we'll catch up very soon.
Thank you, my friend. Good to talk to you. Take care.
Is your business struggling right now? You might think that it's because you don't have enough sales, but the reality is it's because you don't have the attention of the marketplace. This is Attention Equals Dollars. You deserve more. Your business deserves more. And I'm here to teach you everything that I know on how to get the attention that you need and to turn that attention into dollars.